People of the world, hello and welcome to The Brothers Talk with your hosts, Rod, Scott, and Norm, where our purpose is a simple one. Tune into our weekly podcast each Friday, wherever you listen to your favorite programs or on this website to hear us, three black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice as the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. To reach us with your comments, questions, and suggestions, we're at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, the Facebook group of the same name, and if you care to share in more detail, hit us up at the email address, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Also, stay tuned for details about our upcoming news and perspective show on Millennium TV's M24 streaming news station. Welcome, 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 and thank you for joining us again for another edition of Brothers Talk. And again, we appreciate your time, your comments, and for continuing to spread the word about what we're doing in keeping the emphasis on Black economic empowerment, especially as this ongoing pandemic continues to just wreak havoc in our communities, both health-wise and business-wise. And so we'll say it again, family, even if you have to go a little out of your way, buy Black. Look up Black or African-American businesses online. Use Google, Yahoo, MSN, Alexa, Siri, or whatever else you might use, and let's pay more than lip service. We can remind you that in our 12-point plan for relaunching Black Wall Street nationwide, that purchasing from Black businesses not only keeps Black businesses solvent, but Black businesses continue to employ Black people. And that means that spending your money with Black businesses, investing in your own communities, and in our future. So let's continue to buy Black. And remember, you can go online and find some of these Black businesses in our Facebook groups, Relaunching Black Wall Street Nationwide, and hashtag Black Dollars Matter. So while we're at it again, please don't forget this nation's great shame of those struggling with food and housing insecurity. We want to do what we can to change this, but we want to remember that there are people out there like Chef Dion Kakuta and his organization, Disabled Combat Veterans Youth Program, who are continuing to fight the good fight against hunger. They're literally feeding thousands of families who would otherwise go hungry. And they're doing it entirely through donations and all through volunteer efforts. They'll soon be featured in a national news campaign. But in the meantime, check them out at dcvyp.org. That's D for Disabled, C for Combat, B for Veterans, Y for Youth, P for Program.org. Go to dcvyp.org and give what you can. You'll be blessed that you did. And now the hosts with the most, Scott and Norm.
Hey, family. I hope you all been safe during this holiday period. I know you all witnessed all this madness and this craziness that's going on out here. I hope that you're safe. I hope that something may come out of this positive for Black folks. I think that the whole world got what we've been talking about, where there's white privilege when they've been in denial. Now it was on display, full display for everybody to see. So keep supporting Black businesses. Stay safe. Take that shot. You know, I guess I'm going to take that vaccine to stop this virus. So be safe and cautious.
Brothers and sisters, voting is not the end. Voting is the beginning. We are being shut out as we speak, and the game really hasn't even started yet. We need to be organized and persistent to keeping the Democrats on point in regards to our agenda.
So let's get it. We're still in the aftermath of the Capitol event, and we want to discuss why we as Black people should be outraged and ready to channel our anger into positive actions to force the nation to once again confront racism. The smokescreen has to be blown away, and we need to focus on the absolutely blatant examples that we can contrast when we saw what happened with the Black Lives Matter peaceful protest, where they were tear gassed and the National Guard was used to keep them away from the gate, not to mention move them back for 45's photo op versus the amassing of a mob of thousands for a planned riot that was incited by the 45 crime family. And the Capitol Police were complicit in helping them to carry it out. That's right. Let's call it what it really was, a violent mob riot. Seems to me like they're already trying to sanitize it with much softer terms like insurrection and siege, but it really was a great example of what amounted to what used to be the lynch mobs in the past. And if you think that's an exaggeration, then you haven't seen the video where they bought nooses to this protest for Pence, McConnell, and Graham. It's the kind of thing that we cannot allow for the country to sweep back under the rug. We have to keep the spotlight on it, that you had two blatant examples of what the double standard of 402 years of oppression in this country looked like. On one side, a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest where you had whites and blacks there who were recognizing the disparate condition of black people in this country. And they were treated like the criminal mob, even though they were a peaceful protest. And then you had this situation that took place at the Capitol, where you had the police basically ushering them in, even though they had planned for weeks and months ahead, telling them what was going on. But somehow, because they were basically these white groups, they just assumed that it was okay and that it wouldn't turn into what it did.
You're right. You're exactly right. They're trying to say, they're trying to use soften this whole thing by calling it something else. But that was just mob. That was a mob. They were thugs. They were criminals. But they were treated with kids' gloves. It was just shocking to see. It was shocking to see how the policemen, some of them standing there with their hands in their pockets. I was just really angry. I was pissed off because I'm like, you know, in a different situation with Black Lives Matter, they were beating them with billy bats, shooting them with rubber bullets, tear gassing, calling them, spitting in their faces, kicking them, dragging them. And I'm looking at these people coming in here. This is the Capitol. This is supposed to be sacred ground. And these folks are coming in here, breaking in here, brutally attacking policemen. And they're not even shooting back. They're not even drawing their guns. But what I want you to do, family, is we can't be distracted by this. We got to hold Biden and Kamala Harris accountable. Just look at what they've done. Biden stood there and said that, "I'm not going to forget you. You always had my back. I got yours." The first thing he does is Clyburn, the person who is the reason that he gotten where he's gotten, the reason he's the president, is when Clyburn brought South Carolina home for him. What does he do? Clyburn asks him, Miss Fudge, I want you to put her, Congresswoman, into agriculture, which is an important agency that's going to level the playing field for small black farmers. And there are a lot of other programs that black folks are being denied because we don't have folks on at the helm who are looking out for them. So what does he do? He bring in an Obama retread, a guy who was horrible. He brings him in, gives her HUD. HUD is not going to have the same impact as the Department of Agriculture. And then the most egregious thing that he's done so far is he gives this Department of Education to an Hispanic guy, a Puerto Rican, or whatever you want to call it. When we know that in the public school system that's been filling out people, our kids, for the last 50, 60 years, most of the public schools are occupied by black kids, but yet you bring in a non-black person. We all know that should have been a black woman. You can't find one black qualified woman who will come in there and do the right thing for the Department of Education of all places. I think that the Democrats have made a grave miscalculation in that black folks are not going to stand in line and give them their support going forward for any other election if we don't get something that's going to benefit the black community from this administration.
Yeah, Scott, the gentleman that he brought into the agricultural department to lead that department is a former Monsanto employee. So we can see that Biden's already sticking with the corporate establishment wing of the Democratic Party. And literally, I was asking the question today, has he done anything for progressives at all or for anything regarding our agenda? And I think that the answer to that is pretty simply no. You know, but as I mentioned in my intro, we're not doing our job holding him accountable. We're not. We're already on the sidelines observing if we're doing that. But this was to be expected. Now, Trump is no longer the excuse. He's gone, pretty much. Now it's on us to make sure the Democrats are doing what we want them to do. And as Scott, you so eloquently put, we shouldn't carry their water after this. This should be it.
And why we need to be on high alert about the Biden-Harris administration is because of what we know and what we see. We know they've been busy for months developing policies. We know that it's never worked out for us to wait on the Dems to pay up for what they owe us. We know that we, not the so-called Hispanics, not the Asians, and definitely not the whites, we delivered both the presidency and the Senate with 90% of our vote, according to the AP. We know that they've been busy for months picking cabinet members and selecting senior White House staff. And what we see is there are only 2 proposed Black cabinet picks out of 15 and only 8 or 9 out of the 55 total positions. Because they, and I say possibly 9 because there was one I couldn't really determine her ethnicity. So we see that the so-called Hispanics, and I say it again, because a language does not make you a minority group, are getting more cabinet positions and even replacing Harris in the Senate because Gavin Newsom has selected a Hispanic to take her spot. The one Black-ish female that was in the Senate, now we don't have that. We can see that we're disconnecting from this process like we've always done, as if the struggle is over. And all we need to do is wait for the altruism of good white folk to give us the same crumbs that we've become used to. We see both Biden willing to chastise the Black leaders that he met with, and we see the video clip of Kamala so confidently saying that she wants to make it absolutely clear that she will not support anything that only benefits Black people. And just like everybody else in power, it's the ease in which they find themselves able to say that they won't support anything that specifically is for us, when they never say that about Israel, about other foreign aid, or even the so-called illegal aliens. So we definitely need to see our way to demanding our seat at the table with our agenda and our wants. And this time, like you said, Scott, and like you mentioned, Norm, we need to be prepared to walk away.
We have to. I mean, I'm thinking that what we have going on in this country now, you have Republican conservatives who are not part of that Trump cabal, who are leaving the Republican Party. They're not pleased with what Mitch McConnell and his gang's been doing. And then we have the Biden-Harris group of folks who are just retreading the Obama administration, retreads from the Obama administration. I wasn't pleased with what the Obama administration did for Black folks. It looks like Biden is going to repeat the same thing and just basically ignore Black folks and tell us, just, hey, sit over there, wait your term. If there's some crumbs left, you may get a few of those crumbs. We don't want crumbs anymore. It's just, it's an insult to me. It is really insensitive to me when you, like Rod said, we gave you 90% of our votes, but then Hispanics only gave you about 60%, but yet you put an Hispanic guy in the Department of Education. How does that work? Because you think that Hispanics are the new majority, the new largest minority, when in fact they're not a homogeneous group of people. That, more than anything, I'm just incensed by that, because what he's doing, he's showing us what he's going to do in the future for Black folks. And that's basically nothing.
Well, they have perfected the game of identity politics. Basically, they know if they put one or two Black faces up there, that that's going to appease a majority of our community. And it's worked in the past. It has worked. Kamala Harris is very visible. So as long as she's up there, she's feeding into that narrative while basically not representing us at all. So they know how to play the game. We're not playing it to our level that we need to play to get the representation that we want and deserve.
That's why it's so important that we make sure that we don't let ourselves off the hook, because it's one thing to look at Biden Harris and make sure that we get a seat at the table, that we demand what we want from them. But it doesn't work unless we are willing to go to the mat to do it. We find ourselves in a place where we are always afraid of worse when we are already in worse. When we find ourselves believing that, well, under the Republicans, it could always get worse. How do you get worse than worse? We are already at the back of the bus. We're at the bottom of the rungs. We're at the end of every list of healthcare items. We're still struggling to even get the kind of vaccine access that we need. And so what is going to be worse than where we are? And so We need to be meeting with our Black leaders and joining groups and taking these groups over. We need to be finding ourselves in a place where we say we're going to not just wait for our chance to meet with them. We're going to be demanding those meetings, but we're not going to be sitting still in the meantime. We're going to take our organizations to the next level so that we can wield the kind of power, we can wield the kind of money. So we need to be focused on the socioeconomic impact of marshaling our dollars, because the one thing that continues to be true in this country is that money talks and everything else walks.
That's so true, Rod. And family, you can't sit this one out. You got to put some skin in the game. We can't sit on our hands and just sit back and hope that this guy does the right thing, because he's already showing us that he's not going to. You got to put some skin in the game. Your voice got to be heard. You got to let people know that you're unhappy. Tell your families and friends to get on social media. They pay a lot of attention to social media. Have them get on social media and voice their opinion and their disparate pleasure with what's going on. You know, this whole white privilege thing, like I said, that's been on display, has to stop. It's called white privilege. That's what we got going on. And again, family, you got to put some skin in the game. Your voice has to be heard. You got to let people know that you're not pleased and we're not going to take it anymore.
Yes, to follow up with Scott, who I agree with 100%, you know, the election may be over, but the game's just starting. Everybody wants to tune in during the presidential election. Everybody has an opinion during the presidential election. Well, that's over now. Now is the game. Now is the time to get good information and spread it. Read some articles, paper, what have you. But we have to keep up with what's happening daily with this incoming administration. Rod, Scott have given you examples of all of these appointments that really don't represent us, policies that don't represent us. They're not even talking about things in our regard. We have to be on top. Not a time to tune out.
All right. So we realize that we're in a situation where it is no time to be resting on our laurels, no time to sit back and believe there's a honeymoon period in which we can wait for them to do the right thing out of the benevolence or goodness of their hearts. So we are challenging you, family out there, to stay as actively involved as you were during the election. We knew we had a mission, but the mission is not over and the work is far from being complete. So we need to be on top of it. Well, our positive Black experience of the week is just a bit of advice this week that more and more of us who are in the service businesses need to make sure that we get very familiar with how to use the virtual environment. So most of these services like Zoom and GoToMeeting and BlueJeans and Google Meets, et cetera, have free versions that you can use to, one, to, if you're in business, to share your business information face-to-face, per se, with your customers or potential clients. And secondly, to help yourself to be better prepared for the new economy in which many more jobs are going to require that you have a familiarity with these virtual platforms. So our positive business experience of the week encourages you to go out and try out some of these free versions, because you can set up your own account and then make sure that you're familiar and not getting left behind, because that is the new wave of the business future. So that's it for another edition. We want to remind you that you can follow us at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and the Facebook group of the same name. And of course, those of you who want to go into more detail and give us greater feedback, feel free to reach us at thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. That's thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. So much love and our continued gratitude for your time. And remember, let's do better today, because that is truly, really all that we have.